time has come for that four-letter S word. We're talking about snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
This we got from the tribe initially. They came out and there was a celebration here when they said, look, the Army Corps of Engineers has denied a permit for the Dakota Access Pipeline to essentially go under the Missouri River. So it is a true victory for the Standing Rock Tribe, who has initially started this protest against this pipeline.
Mr. Trump, please, let's get to work, okay? This is an extremely dangerous world. Pakistan is increasingly unstable.
Should I call them?
No.
North Korea is still doing nuclear tests.
Should I text them?
No.
And Iran is incredibly volatile.
Should I have Ivanka send them some shoes?
Is everybody ready to count down? We're going to start from 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Monday. It's December 5th, 5:10. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. Welcome to another business day, another business week. Glad to have you along. So much to talk about this morning. Lots happening around the globe. Our opening montage first, the Saturday Night Live team at it again, and Donald Trump busy tweeting his displeasure on Sunday morning. The upshot of all of that is that the Saturday Night Live team, led by Donald Trump himself, the fake Donald Trump, says he'll stop doing that on Saturday Night Live if Donald Trump releases his tax returns. That quieted Donald Trump, at least on the Saturday Night Live field, but they were mocking a phone call that Donald made to the president-elect, the head of Taiwan in violation of some long-held protocol about dealing with Taiwan and also with China. And that caused a lot of ripples over the weekend. But we move on, and it is Monday, and there's a lot happening already. Donald Trump could be entering a full freshman class of world leaders. The head of the prime minister in Italy has resigned after a vote went awry there over the weekend. New Zealand's leader has left as well. That leaves quite a few new leaders on the market there, and he will be entering a freshman class. It's a little bit concerning to some experts who are watching this sort of play out. The big news this morning on the world stage is Brexit. The Supreme Court in the UK has moved ahead with hearings on the Brexit challenge, and they have launched that this morning in London. We'll keep monitoring that. That could move some of the markets as we move toward today. And just in, Donald Trump's transition team has announced that Ben Carson has been selected as the Department of Housing and Urban Development head, cabinet post to Ben Carson, who was one of the competitors to Donald Trump in the Republican primary heading up to the election in 2016. We'll continue to follow those as we continue through the morning. Right now, let's go to the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are pointing up right now at least 76 points. The S&P and NASDAQ futures are a little bit higher as well. On the world stage, markets are generally positive with the exception of some of the big markets in Asia, Europe, the DAX and the FTSE up almost 1%. The CAC up almost 1% as well. Asian doing not so well. The opposite end of the spectrum, the Nikkei, and most of the other indices are off almost 1% or more. We'll continue to follow your money through this show as we head toward the opening bell later on this morning. It is Monday. That means it's our CEO spotlight. Imagine going to the hospital and dying of malnutrition. It's actually happening, and there's a list of things that you can die from. Malnutrition is now one of them as you enter the hospital. A morbidity in the hospital, lots of things, infections, but one would not think malnutrition is up there. So imagine what it would be like if you head home and you are given a diagnosis of cancer and you have to battle that at home. It is very hard to eat healthy, and that's where our CEO comes in today. Courtney White is the CEO and founder of CulinaryCare.com, based in Chicago, delivers complimentary meals to in-need cancer patients and their families, ensuring they never have to struggle getting their nourishment that they need to survive. And in recent weeks, the program, her not-for-profit, has been honored with the Meals That Matter Hero Program Award from Tyson Foods. Let's bring in Courtney White. Courtney, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell. Let's talk first about this award. It's not often we have a national hero in our midst. Tell us about the award and what you do.
Culinary Care is a nonprofit organization I started about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. The inspiration behind it was I actually lost my father to lung cancer when I was in high school. I was heading into my senior year, and he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and ended up passing away right as I was entering my senior year of high school. And so we were fortunate to have family and friends that stepped in and brought us meals every night for 2 months straight. It just was a huge help to have these meals. Gave us one less thing to worry about and time to be together as a family. So when I graduated college, I was actually looking for ways to get involved and, you know, kind of use it as a grieving process, but also as a way to give back and be able to bring those meals to other families and patients that were going through a similar situation that might not have that same support network rallying around them. And so our goal with Culinary Care was to fill that void and just make sure that, you know, we could take one thing off a patient's plate by putting something on it. And so that was something that was recognized by Tyson Foods just in our relationship with them and in talking to, you know, the organization. They kind of, you know, kept their entire motto is meals that matter. And so from their side of things, I think it was something where they recognized this sounds like, you know, a meal that truly does matter when you're fighting cancer. Meals make a world of difference. And so I was selected as this year's Meals That Matter hero as a result.
Let's talk about and get into the nitty-gritty of the nature, the size, and scope of this problem. Tell us first about the nature of it. Is it the lack of access to food, the inability to find the nutritious food? What are the aspects?
I think there's a mix of issues that arise that we've seen when it comes to cancer patients and also getting the food that they need to fight. I mean, we all have to eat to survive. And what we see in interacting with the patients that we've worked with so far is that there's a mix of exhaustion. You're so tired. The last thing you want to do is go home and prepare a meal. And then there's also just the fact that there is a huge food insecurity problem, and cancer does not discriminate. So a lot of the patients we're serving are also food insecure, really struggling financially, and don't have access to a wide variety of the food options that they need. Plus, loss of appetite is incredibly common treatment side effect, as well as changing taste buds. So when you mix all of those different things together, the idea of food and eating just becomes an afterthought for a lot of the patients that we're serving.
This is our CEO spotlight for this Monday edition of the Opening Bell. Courtney White is the CEO and founder of Culinary Care. You can find them online at culinarycare.com and on Twitter as well at Culinary Care. We'll continue our pre-dawn discussion here on the Opening Bell with Courtney coming up, but first we need to check traffic. The snow that came down yesterday was actually the record for the biggest first measurable snowfall of the season. 6.4 inches of snow at O'Hare on the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning. Some stocks of local interest that are popping this morning. Caterpillar Incorporated is down almost 1.1% this morning. Also popping in the opposite direction is 3D Systems, which is up about 2%. In the other direction again, Deere & Company off almost 1.5%. It's 5:21 on the Opening Bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Friday's jobs report showed the economy added 178,000 positions last month, helping to push the unemployment rate down to 4.6%, the lowest since August of 2007. The downside, average hourly earnings fell 3 cents to $25.89 per hour. Ford has issued a recall of more than 680,000 vehicles because of seatbelts that could fail in an accident. The automaker says the recall affects some Fusions, Lincoln MKZ models, and the Mondeo, which is mainly sold overseas. Ford has linked 2 injuries to the seatbelt problem. Flight attendants at American Airlines would like to see a recall of the carrier's new uniforms. The union representing cabin crew says that more than 1,000 of its members have suffered rashes, itching, headaches, and hives since the new uniforms were rolled out in September. And beginning next year, consumers who use prepaid debit cards will be able to spend more than their available balance. The feature will come with an interest rate of as much as 25%. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to the Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program 522. In our CEO spotlight this morning, Courtney White. She's the founder and CEO of Culinary Care in Chicago, providing food and meals, prepared meals to people who are dealing with cancer. Courtney, before the break, we were sort of talking about how you started this and what the scope of the problem is. It's hard to imagine that you get this cancer diagnosis. You're probably spending a lot of money on that, likely spending a lot of money on that. And then you come home and have to find out how to eat healthy and to survive that way. And that's even more money, lots of money going in and out.
Yeah. You have parking. You have all sorts of costs that come into play. You know, even just to get to your treatments is a struggle for some of our patients. So once they do get there, the idea of having to then go out and pay for a meal or go find the food that they actually want to eat. You know, since we're serving a lot of outpatients, they don't get food services from the hospital. So it definitely makes a huge difference.
Is this killing people?
We have found that about 1 in 5 cancer deaths are a direct consequence of malnutrition. So it is definitely not helping people. And I, you know, again, we all have to eat to survive, and your body needs nourishment to be able to fight and, you know, do what it needs to do to heal. So when you're not eating anything at all, it definitely is not helping your treatment outcomes.
So tell us how culinary care works. Do you deliver meals? Is it something that people prepare? How does it work?
So Culinary Care actually partners with a network of restaurants in the Chicago community. And then we also work with a network of hospitals in Chicago as well. So we start with the hospitals, and we have social workers, dietitians, and nurses that will refer patients that are in need of support. Once a patient is in our program, once they're referred, we send over menus from local restaurants. And we have a certain amount of meals that are donated to our organization every month. We also pay for meals that that we don't have donated, so that way we can always make sure patients are being served. But the patient gets to pick whatever they want for themselves and their entire family. So it's really like ordering carry out when you're going to be going to treatment. So if you're coming in on a Tuesday for a 4 to 8 hour long chemotherapy appointment, you can pre-order your meal with us. We pick everything up and deliver it to the hospital for you.
What is the demographic like? Is it young people, old people, all of the above?
It's all of the above. We work with a mix from, you know, kids who are fighting cancer, whose families really need the support. And then we work with a lot of women who are diagnosed with breast cancer, who are also, you know, not only in need of support from their family, but they're also the main caregiver of their family as well. So, you know, being able to help them provide for their family is something that we found seems to be a huge support for our organization.
People, in addition to having to become their own cancer experts, right, and doing all of that research, suddenly I have to also become a dietitian and a nutritionist. Do you help with that regard? I mean, who's guiding you, and how do you know what food to take people?
We work with dietitians at all of the hospitals. We've had them look at all of the menus from our restaurant partners, and we take off certain items that we feel won't travel well, or, you know, are not fitting within certain dietary guidelines. But overall, you know, at the end of the day, we really just want the patient to eat. So nutrition kind of has its own, takes on its own form when you just want someone to eat the food that they're craving and just get those calories in their body. That's what tends to become more important. So,
and also, well, you talked a little bit about the lack of the proper nutrition maybe contributing to deaths, but there's a flip side of that too. If you get the right nutrition, it could actually help with your cancer treatment and recovery.
Yes, definitely.
What are the trends in that area? I mean, what are you hearing from the nutritionists and experts that you deal with?
I'm not a dietitian, so I don't want to speak to any of those trends, or, you know, in terms of that, but we definitely keep on top of, I mean, our dietitians will send us articles that they find, and we just make sure to keep on top of everything. So, you know, all of our menus are adjusted by them as opposed to us. And that way we make sure that we're staying on top of all of those trends and in a way that's as medically guided as possible. Whereas if I was doing it myself,
right,
without,
but as a cancer patient, let's say I have a family member or I'm one of your clients, how can I phrase this question? The better way to ask the question is, you know, Are you frustrated? I mean, did you get into this because you were angry at the way things happened with your father? And does it make you angry every day, or do you feel like you're dealing with it and helping now and making a difference?
Yeah, I definitely don't think anything started out of anger. It was actually more the complete opposite, which is joy. I mean, a meal brings so much more than just nourishment. It really gave my family time to be together as a family and was something that we look forward to every day. And so with that comes, you know, hope and feeling cared for and just involved in a community. And so I think for us, all of the meals that we provide, the, you know, intention beyond providing something nutritious and making sure that they're eating is just the fact that there's such a simplicity in having food. It's friendship, it's caring, it's love. It comes with so much more than just that meal. And so for us, it's always been about the joy that a meal brings. And that's always been our focus. And while there is this kind of huge, you know, issue out there and this huge problem, we want to make sure that patients are really enjoying everything and all the interactions they have with our program.
Culinary care sort of reminds me of Meals on Wheels. And as a reporter, a young reporter, I had the opportunity to do a story, and I went with the Meals on Wheels delivery for a day.
Very nice.
And I saw all of the reactions of the people who were getting the meals. And in every situation, there was a smile.
Yes.
And the interaction, you could tell somebody who was living alone and didn't get to meet people on a regular basis, that has sort of an impact on your daily life and recovery and health too, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. You know, people ask all the time, I'm helping so many people, but do I ever feel like they're helping me? And that's something that is so true and so real. I mean, going and delivering meals and seeing the reaction of, you know, the individuals that we serve, not only their reaction, but their strength. They're going through something so difficult, and just everything that they share. I remember having one conversation with a woman who was saying that, you know, she lives every day trying to be strong for her daughter, and she never wants her daughter growing up thinking she can't do something. And she wants, you know, her daughter to look at her and see, wow, my mom is fighting cancer. She's so strong. She lives every day to the fullest, and I can accomplish anything. Like, she did it, and I can do it. So it's just incredible to think that, you know, that's what they're embracing every day.
Cancer sucks. Thank you for helping.
Yes, of course. We're happy to help.
And good luck to you in the new year.
Thank you. You too.
Courtney White is the CEO and founder of Culinary Care in Chicago. You can follow them on Twitter at Culinary Care. You can also find them online at culinarycare.org. And we'll be back with more on the opening bell coming up. But first, over to the newsroom. Don Norton standing by. Don, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Good. Doing well. What's in the news this morning?
Oh, all sorts of things now. President-elect Trump is getting ready to appoint Ben Carson to the head of Housing and Urban Development. Of course, we're following the aftermath of that terrible fire in Oakland, California. 33 people now dead there. We had almost 6.5 inches of snow officially at O'Hare yesterday. That was quite an interesting benchmark, because it started out to be 2 to 4, and then before you know it, it was 6.4. So first measurable snowfall, and that was a record for that. So lots going on.
We'll check in with Don coming up next, right after we take a break here on the opening bell. It's 5:31.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the opening bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Are you awake yet? Are you really awake yet? If you're heading to work sleepy, you're not alone. A new study says sleepy workers are costing America the equivalent of more than 1.2 million working days per year. This is a new study by the RAND Corporation. We're happy to have with us Marco Hafner. He's one of the research leads at the RAND Corporation in Europe. He's with us this morning on the opening bell. Good morning, Marco. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I'm fine.
I'm doing well, thank you. So are we talking about full-on sleepy workers who are nodding back in their chair and falling onto the ground, or what is the level of sleep here?
I mean, what we look in the study is that if you, for instance, we know that if you sleep less than a certain amount of time, for instance, on average you sleep 6 hours a night, you're more likely potentially to have a higher mortality risk because if you're sleepy, you might drive to work and you have a car accident, for instance, more likely. Or over time, you may develop certain negative health conditions such as cancer, cardiovascular disease, and hypertension. But at the same time, if you don't sleep enough, you might also more likely just to catch the common flu and you might be absent of work. Or you go to work, or you're just not as productive as you could be if you would have slept more.
So how do you measure the amount of productivity that is disappearing or has disappeared because of the lack of sleep?
So basically, we know to some extent how many people on average sleep less than 6 hours. And then we know from data on average how much people are absent from work or go to work and are not as productive. And then we link these two together with existing data.
And the total, I think I saw this, was $411 billion, 1.2 million working days per year because of the lack of sleep. Put that in a little bit of context in terms of how expensive that is for corporations, for companies, for America.
It seems to be a quite a big number, and it's costly for employers. I think what our study shows that sleep might, or lack of sleep might, be a potential public health issue, and it's costly. And I think it's important to think about sleep, and maybe employers start to think about that. Developing a corporate culture that has put sleep on the agenda and values sleep.
Because there are some corporations that do the opposite of that. They work their employees to the bone. They expect their employees to be working some at all hours of the day and night, even when they go home. Is that, there are all kinds of different cultures, but those would be the worst of them, wouldn't they?
I think that might be, that's definitely probably not the right approach. I think it's important to think about sleep as we see as almost a productive factor. Giving the people of opportunities to take time off after work and not have to read or don't feel obliged to read emails until late night, that might be beneficial for their sleep. But overall, our study shows that having enough sleep could be a win-win situation for individuals because it's good for their health and well-being, but at the same time, it could be for companies because it might increase productivity of their workers.
Marco, how does the U.S. Compare with other countries in this area?
From the data that we have, on average, I think the United States is among the worst of the five countries we look at, which includes Japan, Germany, Canada, as we said, the United States. And I think if you look in relative terms of economic output loss, Japan is slightly worse, but is followed by the United States.
Are there models, are there companies that have good models that are dealing with this problem in a good way that you might be able to highlight? What have you seen that works and is something that you'd like to see modeled?
I think there's some, newer innovative companies like Google who for instance, provide their employees facilities, for instance, to take a nap during the day, some sort of nap pods. And obviously, that doesn't work for every company, and because smaller company might not have the resources, capacity, or facilities to do this type of approach. But I think what we see from existing case studies is that some companies who actually really have implemented sleep as an important factor in their health and well-being programs, can actually facilitate this issue of lack of sleep, and for instance, just providing sleep training or kind of courses of how to develop a proper sleep hygiene for the employees might already have a huge impact. And just really showing people or the employees that sleep is an important factor of their lives. And not just a waste of time.
Sure. We've actually reported on this program where there are some CEOs, and this really kind of does come from the top down when you kind of develop a new culture, but some companies actually, their employees get into trouble when they work too much. The company can tell when they're checking emails after hours and doing things after hours, and that it's actually frowned upon. Is that possibly another way to go about solving this problem?
I think there's some approaches, for instance, in Europe where some countries regulate when you should get emails and cut this off. I mean, I don't think that probably works for everyone, but I think it's important maybe to to give employees the feeling that they don't have to feel obliged to read emails when it's after 10 p.m. or something, or at any given point in time if after work. And, you know, I think often you have this daytime pressure where your mobile phone rings at 11 p.m. and it's on your bedside table where you should actually start thinking about getting to sleep. And then you read work emails and so on, so it's pretty bad. So I think overall, companies should start building this culture in and really say, you know, give people time off after work and don't feel, let them feel obliged to respond to emails 24/7.
The notion of a full night's sleep is one that is debated on every continent. What has your research shown is about the sweet spot in terms of the right amount of sleep?
I mean, it's important to mention that sleep is a very individual thing. But I think general research shows that if you have some sort of between 7 and 9 hours, that's about the right amount of sleep. And obviously, there's always exceptions in this rule. Some people might just get along with 4 hours of sleep, but these are kind of more the exceptional cases.
Marco Hafner with us from the RAND Corporation in Europe. We appreciate you being with us here on the opening bell today from, again, the RAND Corporation. The name of the study is about a lack of sleep. It's called Why Sleep Matters, the Economic Costs of Insufficient Sleep. You can find more at RAND.org. You can also follow the RAND Corporation online at RAND Corporation. And Marco, again, thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
5:48 here on the opening bell.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
5:51. Welcome back to the opening bell on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures up 88 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures are a little bit higher as well this morning as we head toward the opening bell. Let's find out more about commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Ori and Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. As we start another trading week in the commodity world, we look back to last Friday at the Mercantile Exchange. Cattle futures, feeder cattle futures sharply lower, and most of the hog contracts ended the day lower as well. Board of Trade, grain market, wheat had a good gain, 16 cents in the December contract. December corn picked up 3.25 cents, but soybeans traded lower on the day Friday. The Illinois Farm Bureau holding its annual convention this weekend at the Palmer House in Chicago, and they honored Illinois State Representative Don Moffitt and Illinois State Senator John Sullivan, named the recipients of the 2016 Illinois Farm Bureau Charles B. Schumann Distinguished Service Award. Don Moffitt has served in the Illinois General Assembly for 23 years, and John Sullivan has served in the Illinois State Senate in the 46th Senate District since 2002, when they were honored over the weekend. Lynn Doran of Champaign County named the Young Leader Discussion Meet winner at the Farm Bureau Convention. In addition to receiving a trophy, she gets a Polaris ATV and $2,500 in cash. Other people being honored as well. Today, Illinois Governor Bruce Rauner will address the meeting. He will be at the Palmer House Hilton Hotel at 11:45 a.m. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
You have a great day as well, Orion. Now on the Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Monday, December 5th, 2016. Only one major economic report due out today. The Institute for Supply Management will release its service sector index for November. Tomorrow, there are three major government reports, including the Commerce Department report on international trade data for October, as well as factory orders for that month. Also, the Labor Department will release its revised third quarter productivity data. Some other happenings today scheduled for at 11 a.m. Central Time. A survey report out today presents the consensus of macroeconomic forecast from a panel of 52 professional forecasters. The report will take a look at GDP, employment, consumer spending, federal deficit, and other standard macroeconomic indicators. Also today, the MLB winter meetings get underway, and there is a report on seniors and dental insurance due out later that says only fewer than half of seniors with dental insurance visited the dentist over the last year. That full report, some of it is embargoed. We can't tell you all of it. Comes out a little bit later on today. Just some of the things happening on the market outlook for this Monday, December 5th, 2016. We'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here on 720 WGN and on the Steve Cochran Show coming up next. And we'll be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. Hopefully you can join us then. Have a great day. I'm Steve Krasanich.